Don't lose this. You ever heard that before? Have you ever heard someone give something precious to you, something that was valuable to them, and they said to you as they gave it, don't you dare lose this. I'm giving this to you for safekeeping. I'm giving it to you for protection, but I'm going to expect that you're going to hold on to it carefully. I don't know what thing that was in your life, what precious thing has been entrusted to you. I think back to my life. My mother years ago purchased and gave to my father a watch that he wore regularly, a watch that he wore all the time. And when my father passed, my mom gave it to me. And I wear this watch, if you will, in trust. It is not simply something that I went and purchased. It's not simply something that I went out and consumed upon myself and I can do whatever I want with it. This is my dad's watch. This is something that he wore. And so it's precious to me. It's something that, if you will, has been entrusted to me. It's been given to my care. And therefore, there is a serious motivation for me to hold on to it, to keep it. Well, this idea of something that's been entrusted to us is a very real spiritual currency as well. It has a spiritual application because we see here in 2 Timothy, as we talked about last week when we talked about this wonderful example, we read through 2 Timothy chapter 1, 1 through 13, and we talked about the example of a mother, the mother model, the grandmother, Lois and Eunice, who were such wonderful examples of faith, of real, genuine faith that Timothy was able to take and to use as motivation in going on in his Christian life. We come here now to some further exhortation that the Apostle Paul, the mentor of Timothy, has for his son in the faith. For this dear son, who is not his physical son, he is not his physical father, but one who was his spiritual son, one who he had discipled and mentored and tried to draw closer to God. And as we said last week, he's giving him now some exhortation, some motivation. He's encouraging him and pressing him on in the work that God has for him. Now notice what he says here in verse 13. Hold fast. This kind of sounds like what I'm doing with this watch, doesn't it? Like you're doing with it is something that someone says to you, don't lose this. He says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Now look at verse 14. That good thing which was, what is that next word? Committed unto thee. He says, Timothy, there's something wonderful that has been entrusted to you. It's been committed to you. It's been deposited in the Timothy bank account. He says, keep it. Keep it. Why and how? By the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Oh, what a wonderful deposit has been placed in Timothy of the Word of God. But what I want to bring out this morning is that this deposit, this investment, is not simply something to be held onto for himself, to be clutched as you would clutch onto jewelry and never let it go, to put a ring on and never take it off because it's so precious to you. But in fact, we learn that what Paul is exhorting Timothy to do is to make his own investment. See what he says in chapter 2 and verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, in light of what has been committed to you, in light of my ministry in your life, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same, what's the next word? Commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Friends, I'm going to title the message this morning, Investors Wanted. Investors Wanted. And is my premise this morning that as we have been invested in, as there has been the precious truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ deposited into our lives by the Holy Spirit and by men and women in our lives acting under the influence of the Holy Spirit, so now it is our responsibility, it is our motive to take that precious treasure that we've been given and to deposit it in the lives of faithful lives of those that are around us. Investors Wanted is that investor this morning, you. We're going to talk about this investor wanted, this investment strategy in three parts. We're going to talk first about the investment. We're going to talk secondly about the investor. And third, we are going to talk about the imperative. The investment, the investor, and the imperative. First of all, the investment. What is the investment that Paul speaks of to here? When he says to Timothy, hold fast the form of sound words that you have heard of me. And then he says, keep that good thing which has been committed to your trust. Really, we could sum up this investment that Timothy has received in the word truth. Truth. He has heard the truth. Paul, the apostle, has come to Timothy. He has taken the truth of the gospel, the good news of the gospel, and he has said, Timothy, this is truth. Let me teach you what is right. Let me explain to you what is true and what is false, what is good and what is bad, what is right and what is wrong. And he explains this to him through the work of the Old Testament scriptures that Timothy had available to him at that time, but also through the oral presentation, the oral teaching of the Apostle Paul. Now, this truth is a wonderful thing. This truth has characteristics that make it go far beyond whether it's a wristwatch, whether it's a $1 million check that is put into your bank account, whether it's indeed all the riches in the world. This truth has some central characteristics that we need to understand for ourselves as we ask ourselves, has that truth been committed to me? Has that truth been invested in my life? First of all, it's perfect truth. It is perfect truth. This we understand going all the way back to the Old Testament when the book of Psalms tells us that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Paul makes a similar point to Timothy only a chapter after this in 2 Timothy chapter 3 when he says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture, he says, is given by inspiration of God. It's been breathed out by God. That's the word of God that we have for us today. It is spoken through men by God who wrote it. It is God's own words and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That is the work of God in the word of God, that there is a perfect treasure that has been taken and placed in Timothy. It has been committed to him. Paul has taken that perfect truth. He's gone to Timothy. He said, Timothy, it's your truth now. It's not just my truth, but I'm giving it to you, and it's perfect. Do you know, friends, it's not just perfect, it's precious. It's precious truth because of its perfection. This word of God that we have for ourselves, not simply something that is spoken orally, but now has been written for us, has been preserved for us, has been something that we can trust in its reliability and in its accuracy, in its inerrancy and its infallibility about the principles of God for man. It is precious because it tells us everything that we need to know for faith and practice. Do you want to know how to live your life? It's in here. It's in this book. Do you know what it is to everything we need to know about God for our life today? It's in this book right here. And this book is precious to us because it reveals God to us. It shows us who we are. It shows us who Jesus Christ is. It shows us what he did for us. It shows us the hope that we have in him. Friends, this truth is precious. And the question that we should ask ourselves today is it precious to me? You know, if I were to walk up to you at the end of service today and take out a check and write $1 million on it and say, here, go put it in the bank, it's yours. What kind of seriousness would you hold on to that check? Where would you carry that check? You wouldn't be carrying it around and sticking it in your Bible and hoping the wind doesn't blow out or someone comes ruffling through it. You'd probably clutch it in your hand. You'd say, I'm not letting go of this. I'm going to hold on to this. This is the most precious gift I've ever been given. But friends, how do we treat the Word of God? When our Bibles collect dust on the bookshelf, or when we get up in the morning to read the Word of God and we simply slip through that reading without actually treating it as the precious source, a precious life-giving source from God. As Scripture says, the Word of God is quick, it's alive, it's powerful. Oh, friends, may we view the Word of God as something precious that's been committed to us. It's as if someone, God Himself, came to you and gave you of His riches to say, here, this is yours, Peter. Now keep it. Hold on to it. Treasure it. Value it. That is to be our opinion, our view of the Word of God as a precious deposit in our bank account. That is for our value, that is for our good. But you see, not only is it perfect, it's precious, but it is to be preserved. Why does Paul tell Timothy, hold on to it? Keep that which has been committed to your trust. It's because so often the truth of God is diluted by man's ideas. So often the truth of God is compromised by all the voices that we hear in society. Friends, this is why we at this church strive to be people of the Bible, not of man's opinion. You're going to come in today, if you go out to your school or to your work, you're going to hear people that say, oh, that Bible is okay on some things, but not on this area. It's too old-fashioned. Oh, it needs to be updated a little bit. It needs to be just brushed up a little bit with modern thought. You know what we say at this church? Absolutely not. This book has everything that we need just as it was written back then. It's not dead, it's living, because the Holy Spirit is the one who applies it to your life, and He is a living being. Friends, are we treating the Word of God with that kind of care, with that kind of seriousness to say, this precious deposit has been given to me, and I must, with all my doing by the power and energy of the Holy Spirit, hold on to it, rightly divide the Word of truth, understand what God is saying to me, and not let all these other things come into that bank account that will dilute the Word of God and will twist the meaning of the Word of God and will compromise the truth of the Word of God. Oh, keep that which has been committed to your trust. As Paul tells Timothy in chapter 1 of verse 9, he tells him to hold fast the faithful word. Oh, friends, that is our commitment. That is our duty and responsibility when we've been entrusted with the Word of God. So we see the investment that has been made in Timothy's life. It was an investment that had been made in Paul's life. Paul says, the glorious gospel of Christ has been committed to my trust. It has been placed in my bank account, and it is my duty now to hold on to it. And he says to Timothy, you have been invested in yourself. You have received a precious deposit. Now hold on to it. Hang on to it. But we see here, secondly, the investor that is wanted. You see what he says to Timothy, don't simply hold on to what you've been committed. Don't simply never let go of the truth of what you've learned. But he says here in chapter 2 and verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, there's that trust, there's that bank account, there's that deposit that's been made. What you have heard of me, the same thing, the same truth you've heard of me, commit. And the meaning, one of the meanings of that word is, again, the same thing, to invest, to deposit, to entrust to someone, to walk up to someone and say, hey, brother, this is precious, here it is, don't lose it. He says that is the role, that is the responsibility for Timothy. Now, friends, think about this for just a moment. I only have one of these watches. I only have one of these watches. If I were to go to my friend Lydia here and say, hey, Lydia, hang on to this watch, will you? Would I have my watch anymore? I would have given it to her. I would have entrusted it to her, and she would have had to hold on to it for me and take care of it for me, but I would no longer have my watch. Now let's think about this, about the Word of God. Paul tells Timothy, hang on to the Word of God. Don't let it go. You've been given this Word of God. And then he tells him, go give it to someone else. Does that mean Timothy's going to lose it?
Yes.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't, because you see, the Word of God is not something that we lose when we give to someone else. The truth of God's Word is not something that we have to say to someone, here, I guess I don't need this anymore. Why don't you take this? No, there's an investment that is made in us. And the response of this investment in us is to go and take the Word of God that's been given to us and entrust it to other people. Now, let's understand, first of all, that this investment is a priority. A priority. These are the last words of Paul to Timothy. And he says, Timothy, I want you to know something very important. This is your job. This is your task. Friends, you know what my priority as a pastor is here at Straight Gate Church? It is not simply to preach the Word of God to all of you that are sitting here. It is not simply my responsibility to stand up and publicly proclaim the Word of God. It is my duty to go and find faithful people and entrust them, the Word to them as individuals. Entrust the Word, the truth of the Word of God to them, and to disciple them, to mentor them, to come alongside them as Paul came alongside Timothy and say, my friend, here's truth. Here's truth. I'm entrusting you. I'm putting this precious deposit into your life. You see, there's preaching the Word and there's teaching the Word to faithful men. Now, how do we know this is an individual responsibility? It's something to be performed to individuals. Because we see that it's not just this investor is not simply supposed to have this priority, but the investment is to be privileged. You see, who does he say? Commit the Word, commit what you have heard to faithful men. Faithful men. What does that mean? It means that this kind of deposit of the Word of God is not simply to be the same as preaching the Word of God to everybody. It is not simply to be the same as public preaching. By the way, that's a wonderful thing. Preach the Word. Be instant in season and out of season. That's a very important thing, what I'm doing here today. But there's another step beyond that. That is identifying faithful men, faithful women, who will be able to teach others also. And depositing the Word of God in them and giving that commitment to them. It's a very important thing. You see, Paul says, or in 1 Corinthians 4, it is accounted of stewards, it's required of stewards. If you're going to take something on and take it as a deposit in you, you better be found faithful. If I went to give my watch to Lydia for the day and it was precious to me, I'd want to make sure that Lydia wasn't going to lose it. I'd want to make sure that Lydia wasn't going to treat it casually, that she was a faithful steward of what she had been given. And so for us, when we are identifying those who are going to be those faithful ones that we pour ourselves into, that we deposit truth in their lives in an individual way beyond the public proclamation, we are looking for those who are faithful. We are looking for those that will be able to teach others also. You see, because third, that is the purpose that Paul holds out for Timothy here. The purpose of entrusting the Word of God to individuals is so that they can go teach, so that they can go share the Word of God themselves, so that they can take the deposit of the Word of God and go place it in someone else's life. You see, friend, if our churches took this theme seriously, if our churches, if our ministry here at Straight Gate Church were to take this theme of investment, of deposit in the life of those that are around us, do you know what would happen? We would grow by multiplication. We would grow geometrically. As the pastor takes the Word of God and entrusts it to those that are under his care, and those individuals who are faithful men and women, they take the Word of God and they go teach others also. They take the Word of God and say, wow, this is a precious deposit to me. Now it's my responsibility to go share it and entrust it to someone else. Friends, that is what discipleship looks like. You know, we here at Straight Gate Church have been, as many of you know, looking here over the last number of weeks to set a direction, to set a course that we will go on in this ministry in the years ahead. We're looking to bring into effect our church covenants, those that we are going to be those, if you will, though, that course that we will walk together here. You know, friends, what must be the driving idea behind this course, this ministry that we're going to be walking, is that we need to be committing the Word of God to faithful men and women. The goal of our ministry is not simply public proclamation to crowds, though it is. The goal of our ministry is to find students, young people, young men, young women, old men, whoever it is, and deposit the Word of God to them. Invest the Word of God in them beyond simply our Sunday school classes. You see, if you're a teacher here this morning, you have been entrusted with a precious gift, the Word of God. James 4 says, don't be many teachers. Why? Because you'll receive the greater condemnation. Because you will be held accountable for the deposit that has been placed in you. And if you think your job as a Sunday school teacher is simply to show up on Sunday morning, teach your class, and go home for the rest of the week and you've accomplished your duty, you're sadly mistaken. Because you, like Timothy, have been entrusted with the Word of God to identify in your classes faithful men, faithful women, faithful boys, faithful girls, and commit the Word of God to them. Deposit it in them. Place it in their lives throughout the week. Friends, that's our heart for this ministry. That's our goal for this ministry, not simply to proclaim publicly, but entrust so that those from our ministry may teach others. Friends, I encourage you to have this vision. I have taken on this vision that one day, I may be replaced as the preaching elder of this church because someone from our ministry has come up and God has blessed and gifted them for that role. Can you imagine what a wonderful thing would it be if you as a Sunday school teacher one day stepped aside because someone that you had entrusted the Word of God rose up and grew and was discipled and they were ready to start entrusting the Word of God to others? Bus captains, bus drivers, wherever you are, what's our vision? What's our heart? What's our goal? It is to deposit the Word of God to those who will be able to teach others. Friends, this means something for you if you're here on our buses today. Children, teenagers, look up here for just a minute. I'm talking to all of you. Do you know why we pick you up on Sunday? We don't pick you up on Sunday just so you can have a good time, though we want you to have a good time as we worship God together. We don't pick you up so we can give you a reward when you get off the bus. We don't pick you up so we can even make friends. We want to be friends. We want to build relationships. Do you know why we pick you up? So we can trust the Word of God in your life. So we can deposit it to you. So we can pour the Word of God into you. Why? So that someday you'll teach others. So that one day you'll be the Sunday school teacher. You'll be the bus captain. Maybe you'll be one of the leaders of this church. That's why we're doing what we're doing. And what we need in our lives is to be rededicated to that vision. That vision that was entrusted to Timothy. To take the Word of God that had been committed to him. That had been invested in him. See it as a precious deposit, a perfect deposit, and to pour it out into the lives of faithful men and women who would be able to teach others. What a glorious investment strategy this is. What a wonderful charge this is for those. You say, well, I'm not a teacher here. Well, are there any of those that you're teaching? If you're a mother, you're teaching your children. They've been entrusted to your care. Do you have a spiritual child here or elsewhere? That's who you entrust the Word of God to. May we all have those spiritual children that we can deposit the precious Word of God in their lives. But we need to see not only the investment in the investor, we need to see the imperative. Because Paul here takes this deposit so seriously. This is not something frivolous. This is not something casual to say, hey, if you get a chance, go hand out the Word of God to someone. If you don't, no big deal. You wouldn't do that with someone if you were handing them someone something precious. You treat it soberly and seriously. And what is the imperative that Paul puts in front of us if we're going to be these faithful depositors, these faithful investors of the Word of God in the lives of others? He says it first of all in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 1. He says, thou therefore, my son, be strong. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know what he's saying? He's saying three things that we need to understand here as the imperative for our life as faithful investors here in this ministry. First of all, it's saying something about the struggle. The struggle. My friend, if you're going to be a teacher of the Word of God who deposits the Word of God in the life, lives of others, you're going to have a hard time. You're going to experience hardship. Thou therefore endure hardness, endure hardship. Why is it going to be hard? Because you're trying to do something the devil doesn't want you to do. Because you're trying to do something that the world and your flesh and the devil will oppose because it's valuable. Because it involves the precious Word of God. And Paul is one who had experienced this hardship. He had experienced these tribulations. He'd experienced these trials. And now at the end of his life, before he was going to be martyred, he was going to be killed for the work of Jesus Christ, he looks at Timothy and says, Timothy, you know how precious it is what I've entrusted to you. And you know what I've gone through to entrust this in the lives of others. He says, so you better get ready for a hard time. You better get ready for hardship. Teachers, if you're going to carry out the work that God has for you in this place, you better be ready for hardship. Pastor, if you're going to get ready to carry out the work that God has for you to entrust the Word of God in others, you better get ready for hardship. But friends, that shouldn't make us shy away. That shouldn't make us turn away and say, you know what, it is too hard. A lot of my kids do walk away. It seems like nothing is working. It seems like nothing valuable is coming out. Paul says, no, you know what, that's part of the struggle. That's part of the game. That's part of the deposit. It's part of the investment strategy. You're going to endure hardness. Think about the hardness that Paul had to face. Not just physically, but emotionally. Think about the people he poured himself out to that wandered away. He had the hardship of saying, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world and is departed. He left. Yeah, you know, friends, when you deposit the Word of God to faithful men, some of them are going to walk away, and it's going to be really difficult. It's going to be a challenge to you. It's going to be an emotional struggle. You know what others you're going to do? You're going to face opposition from people who say, no, that's not the truth. But you hold fast to the faithful Word you've been taught. You say, no, this is the deposit I've received in the Word of God. I'm carrying on. You're going to be assaulted by the devil who's going to try to lead you astray in temptation, lead you astray. That's why those that are leaders here at this church, we invite and ask for your prayer. Because the more we try to invest the Word of God, the more opposition we're going to face. There's hardship. There's a struggle. Are you ready? Endure it. Endure it as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And what Paul says to him is not just that there's a struggle, but there's strength here. He says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. What strength is he talking about? He's not simply talking about willpower. He's not talking about the kind of strength that says, I can take this. No, he says, be strong in grace. The source of this strength is grace. Paul knew this strength for himself when he said, when I am weak, then I am strong. God's strength is made perfect. His grace is made perfectly working in my life when I am at my weakest. Friends, what does it look like if you're a teacher here this morning who wants to be strong in grace that God has given you? It's not to rely on your own strength. It's to admit how weak you are. It is to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, in the energy that is involved in your unity in Jesus Christ. Now, is that passivity? Is that kicking back in relaxation? No. Paul says that he strove mightily according to the working that worked in him. That was his work, and it is to be ours too, in full reliance on the strength that God gives, in the energy that he provides. Friends, what's our source here this morning? What's our source of our depositing in the lives of our children? What's our source behind our investment strategy? If it's not strength and grace, we are nothing. We are nothing. And friends, as we move ahead here, we hope as faithful under shepherds of the ministry that God has placed in our trust, what will we be looking for? What will we be exhorting you to as workers in this ministry, as Sunday school teachers or bus captains or what is it? Whatever it is, are you strong in grace? Is this the fundamental characteristic of your life? that you are strong in the grace which God provides, because it is that source which allows us to be the investors that God wants us to be. Friends, what precious thing have you been invested in your life? What has someone come alongside you and presented to you and entrusted in your care? Is it the Word of God? Is it the truth of the Word of God? Oh, may you be like Timothy. Timothy, to take that faithful investment that has been given to you, and with a heart that recognizes the preciousness of that truth, that recognizes the perfection of that truth, devote your life under the work of the Holy Spirit to commit and entrust and deposit that word in the lives of others. You see, friends, you see how there are four generations here mentioned? There's Paul, who entrusted the word of God to Timothy. There was Timothy, who entrusted the word of God to faithful men who would be able to teach others also. You see, friends, each one of us have a chain of this deposit of truth that goes all the way back to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ invested his truth in 12 disciples, in his apostles, who invested that truth in those that came after them. And all the way down through the centuries, those, that chain of truth has been deposited in the lives of faithful men and women. You know how grateful I am for that in my life? How grateful I am for the depositing of a faithful man, my father, who day after day took the Word of God and taught me and entrusted the Word of God to my care and said, "This is the way, walk ye in it." How grateful I am, not only for his entrusting in me, but the fact that his parents entrusted the Word of God in him. They taught him. They deposited it in him. And how, going back generation after generation, hundreds of years ago perhaps, when it said that two little Sunday school teachers went into a small town in northern Sweden to entrust the Word of God to some children there. I think that's probably the source, if you will, of my spiritual heritage here. My family line was likely influenced by that faithful entrusting that was given. And friends, today we can do the same thing. Will the chain of deposit stop with you? Will the chain of investment stop in your life, one who receives this precious deposit, and say there's going nowhere from here? God forbid. May we be part of those investors that are wanted, those that will take what we have been given and entrusted in the lives whom God has placed under our care. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the precious Word of God, for this privilege that we have to take this precious Word and entrust it to others. Father, that requires us to be hearers of the Word. That requires us to be students of the Word. That requires us to be those who delight in the Word. Oh, Father, may we be those that love the truth, that buy the truth and sell it not. May we be those that commit the truth to faithful men and women whom you have placed under our care. Father, I pray if there's one here this morning that has never had the truth entrusted to them already, they've never come to Jesus Christ by faith for salvation. Father, may they see the precious truth that can be entrusted to them even today. As we bow our heads, if there is anyone here who has heard the Word of God today and seen their need for salvation, we leave a moment at the end of every morning service. Why don't you trust Jesus Christ today for salvation? Why don't you cast yourself upon Him wholly? You can do that where you're seated. You can slip out from where you're seated and come to these steps. Someone will take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. Is there one who would come this morning? Christian friend, I ask you, are you a faithful depositor, a faithful investor of the Word of God that's been entrusted to your care? the same commit thou to faithful men, shall be able to teach others also. Father, may that be our heart cry. May we be those students of the Word that proclaim your word to those who will be able to teach others also. And we ask now, Father, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit would be with us all now and forevermore. Amen.